Okay, this is a session with Nelson, recorded on April 5th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 12:11 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon.
Great stuff. Hi, Ion. How are you? How are you?
Hey, bubbly, thanks.
Fantastic. Well, about a week ago, I managed to make a lot of headway on this formula.
Congratulations.
And the biggest breakthrough really was understanding that C needed to be plotted on the x-axis, not the y-axis.
Right. So, well, you had to get a linear plot from an x and y to begin with. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Because
so,
otherwise, how are you going to plot it all 3 points of a triangle on Y?
Well, yeah, that's what exactly. That's why originally I wasn't understanding that at that point, that part of it. So for this session, if you're, well, I guess, yeah, I'd like to go through, I've taken the candle closes of three pairs on a specific date, and I'd like to go through the formula with those three pairs from start to finish.
Well, you're not through with the original formula yet, so how are you going to do that?
Well, I'd like to go through, and then we'll see where I'm not. You know what I mean? We'll see where I what I
well,
don't
then,
have by going
then,
through what I have.
Then, okay, then here's how this plays. You ask questions. So if you want to ask your original point of where you are, okay, that's fine, but it's all from your asking, of course.
Yes. Of course. So you're saying that I should, instead of moving through the problem, the equation with you, I should just ask specific questions on parts that I need to be filled in?
No, you can ask your process as you've gotten it so far.
Okay.
It's okay.
That's fantastic.
But just know that what you get is going to be what you ask.
Okay. Well, if I'm moving through the equation, you can
then
let
you
me know if I'm
points.
Moving through
yes,
it correctly.
Good. That's right.
Okay, great. So I've got three prices based on the close of the daily candle of GU, EU, and Euro, and U.S. dollar Swiss. So does it matter which ones I state? If I want my answer to be a projection of GU, I'll place GU in the A position, correct?
Correct. And you're going GU against what?
Euro dollar and U.S. dollar Swiss are the three triangulation points.
Okay, but those values are valued against some other currency.
Yes, all against the U.S. dollar.
No, 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 no. That's like triangulating your no, no, no. You want to mix it up between different currencies. You don't want to make them all be against the dollar because you're only going to ping one tower with your cell phone.
Okay.
So you want to make it. You can pick those first three. That's fine, and make the first one be against what you're trying to find out. And if that's the U.S. dollar, great. But then make the other be the yen or some other thing, and make the other one be against something else.
Okay. So I'm better off taking the pound U.S. dollar, the pound yen. And then
right.
Another pair.
Yeah. Swiss franc.
Okay. Okay.
Makes no difference. You see, because then what happens is it really is applied there because you're now triangulating three completely obscure points. See, it actually is more provable. But otherwise, if you do all three against the U.S. dollar, all you're going to do is find out exactly how far you are from a tower. In a cell, like pinging three towers, you're all going to be focused back to the one tower. So you won't know where you are in perspective of the new x-axis to know what your value is against. Because
okay.
You got to think of it this way. Your AB tangent, wait, now here we just said you got to ask, and that lasted, what, 9 seconds?
Well, yeah, but a big part of the discovery is how the conversation sort of takes form.
Yes, that's right. So, that's right. So disregard that other part. We'll just sort of roll with it. Your AB tangent, you find out, is plotted on the y-axis, correct?
The AB tangent, yes.
Okay. How long is the y-axis? Goes to infinity, does it not?
Yes, it does.
So the y tangent, the y-axis, would include every price from that close of business day.
Okay, yes, it would.
Corn, pork bellies, pounds, milk, frozen orange juice concentrate, pine trees, cement, gefilte fish. Every price has a close on that day in the false premise of time. So that's why your Y goes to infinity. Every price that is would fit in that encapsulated aspect of what you call timed value. Good. So all you're doing is picking two of those points and plotting them.
Yes.
On an actual imitation Y-axis.
Yeah, and that's another question I want to ask you about is the C to the negative 1, how I use that in order to fix my axis point.
Well, you don't fix them. You create a new one because your axis, your new x-axis, which is what you're going to gauge for your future value of A2, is on a new, it won't be on the same y because you'll have a new, because you're drawing a second tangent with your B1-A1 tangent.
Yes.
So if you have a new Y in the future event, which is also the new tangent of the smaller triangle, then you're also going to have a new X value. And that new X value, or axis, is going to be calculated from the minus one sine and the minus one cosine of C.
Okay.
And also of C2. Because you see, C2 is going to move as well. Just because it shares the same angle as your original C value, you're also creating an A2, B2, C2 triangle. They just happen to share the same angle. And that's the trick to make the sharing of that angle. It makes no difference how long your AC or BC line segment goes. The further you go in the past, the broader the spectrum's going to be, and the more you go toward the future, the more compact that angle is going to be. But the actual angle itself stays the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So it's like a think of it as a cone.
Okay.
Think of it as a cone. Because if it says a cone, like a funnel, if it says a funnel, then it's going to go through faster at the big end and slower at the little end. And that's actually, if you took a cross view of that, that's what you're doing. You're pinpointing the exact amount of how much is going through the funnel or what the value is when it hits the A2 angle.
Yes, exactly.
What you're trying to find out is what A is to B, BE. In a future reference.
So if I use the pairs pound US dollar, euro Swiss, and odd USD, Aussie US dollar, are those good three to triangle?
No, you're mixing dollars and dollars.
Okay, so
pound to dollar, so you need to go Aussie to Canadian dollar or anything you want, just not the same.
Okay, I'll do. I'm just trying to pick ones that also, some of them will graph the X way over to the right.
Makes no difference.
I know, but what the graph that I'm using, you have to zoom out so far that the points become sort of blurred. So I'm just trying to keep stuff together. Okay, I'll use the odd CAD. All right, 0.99. Okay, let me just pull this up. And then I'll get the, this is perfect. This works out really well. So 29. I'm just going to the close of the day, 1.0020. 0020. Okay, so now I've got a program that I'm basically putting these in like this. I've got X for GU, X is 0, and Y is the price, 1.60049. For Euro Swiss, which is B, X is 0, and the price is 1.29858. And for the odd
Okay. Now, wait a second. Now, you've plotted that. Is that not above your A plotted point?
No, it's below.
Well, your first point was 1.006?
1.600.
1.600. Okay. And the other's 1.2. Okay, fine. No problem.
Yes. So right now I'm looking at it plotted on a graph.
Yep.
And what's fun is I've worked through this to the point where I actually get the intersection points, and the intersection points fall in these triangles all the time.
They should, yes.
Which was
vibration
very exciting.
Does. Vibration does. Because now think about this now from your picture, because you're linear, you like to see it. So
yep.
if you're noticing the points that hit within a triangulated position, those are the important points.
Yeah, only like two of them. There are very few of them, which is great.
Right, exactly. So you multiplied those new plotted values where they intersect by the frequency or the repetition of the sine cosine wave. You multiply those points times themselves. Then you divide by the total number of intersection points within the peak and the trough of your sine, cosine of A, and then you do the same thing for B.
Yes. So the next step is going sine A, cos A, literally just getting the answers to those.
Yes. You want to get the pitch and the chord.
And I figured out the equation to it as well. It's Y equals sine and then the number, so 1.60049, and then you got to put X, and then
right. The
close bracket.
Very good.
And then when you graph it, it graphs as a sine wave.
That's correct. And then you do the exact same thing for cosine, and then you overlap them.
Well, yeah, 1.6. So can you sort of, you know what's going on my screen, do you?
Yeah, what are you asking?
I'm just I'm asking, this is there's the coast on top of the sign, the two waves.
Right. And they lay linearly, but they're not linear.
Yes, exactly.
And where those peaks and troughs intersect, you plot each one of those intersection points on your flat graph. Which is actually done for you there, you see.
I'm just going to do the cos for B, 1.29858X,
mm-hmm.
And then now it'll graph A and B, the cosine and the sin for each. Okay,
good.
Right. So that's all of them on top of each other.
Well,
now what I do
now, good, but now. That works out this time, but it won't always work out that way. As you're having, you have your A sine and cosine going toward the second tangent, the B1A1, and you have the B going from the first tangent to the second one. Now, if the peaks and the troughs bump into each other, wonderful. But if they don't, that's okay. You just you handle them individually.
Okay. So what I
I know. I got it. But now get this, though, because you're saying the way you've got it marked out, it sort of becomes very clear. And we're saying exactly, Nelson, you're on the right path. But if it doesn't, it doesn't affect the equation or how it comes out. You handle the A sine cosine and the B sine cosine independently. And if you always handle them independently, whether or not they actually cross intersect or not, won't leave you in a position where like, well, crap, now what do I do? See what I mean?
Okay.
And if they
yeah,
do,
sure.
it's even better still. Okay? But
okay.
There you go. Good.
So now what I do is I'm going to mark the equations for A and find the intersection points.
Yeah.
So negative 3.4351 and 0.7071. Now, what's with 7071? Why does that number come up so much?
Queer, isn't it?
Yeah. What's with it? If it is by far the most popular number that almost all of these waves travel through.
But you're only applying this for currencies, are you not?
Yes.
Well, that rib of a megahertz or a hertz frequency follows the channel of the money changers.
Wow, because it is unbelievable how often it comes up. So now what I'm doing is I'm taking 0.4907 and 7071 and copying that and plotting those points on top of the triangle.
And if they fit inside the triangle, great.
Yes.
If they don't fit inside the triangle, also great, but that's a different function. So let's say they both fit inside the triangle, and they're the only two that do. Correct?
Okay, let me just
you should see if they do. Good.
Yeah. There's only two X and Y axes that are being told to me as intersection points that are possibly going to fit. So I'm only using those two. And now I'm just going to do the same thing for B really quickly. Mm-hmm. This software that I bumped into, this online graphing calculator, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It does the intersections for you, and it does
yeah.
everything. It's
now,
actually been quite exciting just figuring
right,
it out.
Right, but now, are you in degrees or radians?
I am in radians.
That's fine. But you will finally be able to prove your work
yep.
When you get this down. It'll work in degrees as well.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it transcends the whole...
Now, wait. That's right now, but here's how. Okay, let's say you're talking about a great big circle, a flat linear circle,
mm-hmm.
all right? And if you draw a circle on a piece of paper and you turn that piece of paper sideways, it could actually be a tangent, could it not?
Yes, it could.
Well, that's what we're talking about here. Both apply. And because you have this knowing, it will apply in both applications in your chip body calculator. And we want to caution you also, you have the capacity in that graphing calculator to run it as a JavaScript. That will round up and not give you accurate answers every single time. So make sure it's
okay.
not running on Java.
Okay. Yeah,
because we're talking,
precise answers. I don't want it to
Well, run. You want the whore to fuck every single time you want to play.
Yeah.
Okay. That's easy.
Okay,
is that an
so
easier way to say it? Maybe not the way grandma, not the way grandma would say it, but you get the point.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so two of the points land in the triangle.
Good. Of
From
A.
From what I see.
Of A.
No, one of A, one of B.
Okay, now we say, great, but keep them separate. See,
okay,
you want to keep A set. You're fine. No, that's not the way to say that. You handle them independently. Now, if they multiples even intersect, because sometimes your peaks and troughs will even bump into each other. That's okay.
Uh-huh.
But we're saying handle them independently.
Oh,
for example, if you had two points of A that intersect inside the triangle, if they do, then you multiply those two points times themselves.
Okay, that's one question I have for you. Do I
right.
multiply X times Y?
No, because your plotted point, well, now that's interesting, because it's got to work every single time. So if you have an X and a Y pinpoint as far as the triangulated position, then we would say just take the Y. Because the Y is what you're working with. Okay?
Okay,
and
right now.
And so Y would be on the top, X would be on the bottom. But that will shift if your B is on top of your A, obviously, would be upside down. Because then instead of your B1, A1 tangent, that would become your A1, B1 tangent. You remember your tangent, second tangent would flip? So
yes.
X is on the top. Sorry. Y is on the top, X is on the bottom. So you would apply that to the B.
Okay.
Indeed plots that way. But it won't always do that. But you got to get it for every – you want the formula to work every single time. So that's the reason we're saying – both can work sometimes, but if you leave the Y on the top and the X on the bottom, that'll work more times than not because you can get all kinds of striations when you start taking a wavelength and plotting it flat and linearly.
So right
because
now,
you're going to multiply them times in cells on the A, if you have 100, you could have 100 points that intersect. Well, you multiply one times the next one and take that total and multiply it times the next one and take that total and multiply it times the next one. Then you divide that by the total number of intersection points on the sine cosine of A,
okay.
Inside or outside the triangle.
Okay, so right now for sine A, there's one intersection point in the triangle.
So there's nothing to multiply.
Okay, so there's nothing to multiply.
Well,
if
you only have
were,
one point.
Well, exactly. So you don't have to times X by Y.
That's correct. That's why you'd leave the Y. You'd plot it on the Y. You'd plot that frequency, the intersecting point, on the Y. So that would be the Y. And do transversely the case with the B as the X.
Oh, okay. So I would use, so for example, the intersection point of A is 0.4907, which is the X value, and 0.7071, which is the Y value.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
I would
independent. Those are independent things, but you're right. You'll use them both. Very good. Okay. All right. But now you, so. Now, you've plotted that. Now, how many intersecting points do you have between the two tangents total?
Between the two tangents total, I have two intersection points.
Now, how is that possible? A sine and cosine wave is going to repeat multiple times. It doesn't have to be inside the triangle.
Oh, it doesn't have to be inside the triangle.
Because that's what you would divide by.
Okay, so how many intersection points I would have from basically zero on the x-axis to C, C's
correct.
Value?
Well,
okay.
Now wait a minute. No. Easy trigger. You're not going all the way to C. You've already drawn a new tangent, remember? Your
oh, based
B1,
off
A1,
of the Y
so
of
you
sine
have to,
A.
Okay. Well, the new Y of A2. So you can't go all the way to C because that would be beyond your second tangent.
Okay. So So I just want to make sure that that's this point.
You're right. So if you want to do it for 24 hours, and you mark over, you count over 24 boxes on your graph. And you draw your second or your B1, A1 tangent 24 blocks over, and each block is for an hour, okay? That's fine. And we say, and it makes no difference because we talked about this before, where you can divide it by minutes, you can make it be weeks, you can make it be months, but whatever you set it to be, it's easy if you keep it into a divisible amount of timing or time. Because, see, it's for us, this is silly and nebulous because time is a false premise.
Uh-huh.
And all we're doing here for you, Nelson, is laying it out from a flat linear perspective, which is a good aspiration of what time is.
Is.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if instead of learning how to tell time, this formula will actually give you the ability to make time tell.
Uh-huh. I see what you're saying.
And it's all from a vibration, not from a linear projection. The only linear projection is mimicking or copying the false premise of what you call time.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Nelson, what do you think a vibration is? Something you hear? Something you feel?
No.
I think it depends what medium the vibration's traveling through.
Okay, what's one medium that is always that would always be the same?
Water.
Nope.
Like waves in water.
Waves in water, but they're not always the same. So if you answered Bob's question, we'd say, well, Bob, the vibration is a wavelength. If you said it's a wavelength, then that would work every single time, regardless of the medium.
Uh-huh.
Because you could have a frequency wavelength that moves through lead. Now,
yes.
Granted,
it would be a very tight one,
but it would move through lead.
So when you say wavelength, you basically mean the distance from the peak to the trough.
That's correct, and in the cord. See, because you got to have
cord,
the pitch.
Okay.
Yeah, because of the
yes.
pitch. Because, and we say this every single time now. Now, remember, people think of, if you want to use sound, it doesn't, sound is a wavelength, not the only one. But if you take a water hose and you hook it up to a spigot and you turn it on full blast, water will spew out of the hose, okay?
Yeah.
Well, sound from a pipe organ does not come out like water from a hose. It fills every capacity.
Uh-huh.
And what you're doing is you're taking the sound from the pipe organ, which is vibration, okay, and you're applying it to how far away the pipe organ can be heard. And you go, well, great,
yeah.
So that's what we're calculating. But if you're in a closed sanctuary, you may not hear that sound outside because it may be enclosed within the confines of the building, depending on its structure. Because those sound waves will bounce back and forth. Okay? So that's
yeah.
why you're pulling the minus sine cosine from C. That's a good question, Bob. You actually hit something. The minus sine cosine sets the new parameter of how they hear the pipe organ on the lower level, how they hear the pipe organ in the balcony, and how they hear the pipe organ across the street at the coffee shop.
Huh.
Though that only would be confined within between your two tangents.
Now, so for example, I want to get on back to what you were saying
yeah.
earlier about dividing
yeah.
each segment into hours.
Yeah.
So C for in this equation, it was marked on the x-axis, and it's 1.002.
Correct.
Would you divide everything to the left of C into 24
no.
hours?
Oh, no, no. No. See, time is false premise. So if you plot out your chart, and if you have let's say your values are queer and the distance is 1,000 from your 0, 0 point over to C,
okay.
and it's 1,000, and so you yep. have 1,000 blocks.
Yep.
Okay? And you're trying to find out 10 minutes from then we'd probably say divide your blocks into seconds. Just make them equal so you can absolutely calculate an equal division of the false premise of time.
Okay,
that's
so what do
saying.
I do in this case, though? In this case, it's C is 1.002.
Okay.
So do
that's
I
fine.
Worry about
so don't worry. So how
to
many?
Right
okay, just a second. From your AB line segment or your tangent,
yeah.
how many blocks do you have between going from the left to the right? How many blocks do you have between your AB line segment and your C?
One.
Well, that sort of sucks, doesn't it?
Well, C is only one.
Exactly.
So I would have to just divide that up.
That's right. And C gets kind of, and you, your computer will do that for you. But what we wanted to do is to let you have the ability to get the picture of what your calculator is doing for you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
See, that's kind of the point. And then, so therefore, you would draw, you set where B1A1 is. You can draw anywhere you want to, as long as it intersects your A, C, B, C line segments forming the second tangent.
Okay, right now I've got the four dots on the graph, the five dots on the graph, A, B, C, and intersection point 1 of sine A and cos A, and intersection point 2 of sine B and cos B.
Good.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now what do I do?
You have yet to establish where your A2 is because you haven't drawn your second tangent.
Okay, so how do I draw the second tangent?
Okay, what we were saying was that you could, you need to enlarge your graph, number one, so that your each point values plotted differently. Basically, you change the perspective of your graph. That'll help.
Okay,
you.
I need to ticks every, right now it's ticks every one units. It probably would need to be every 0.01 or something.
At least. Especially if you're doing a long span.
Yes.
You can calculate value from a month away. Well, you'd want, if you did it a month away, you could do it as one block. But you'd probably want to do it like 30 days, so you'd want to set your pixelation on your graph for 30 boxes over.
At least, exactly.
So you can go 30, draw your line, and have a little bit more to reach C. So that's just perspective. Now, you know that once you get the formula.
I need a more precise integer. It ticks every finer unit.
But that's just to see it, Nelson, because your computer's going to do that for you. I mean, your machine is going to do that for you. But we're trying to make sure you see what it's doing so you know what it's calculating is precise so you won't leave it to chance. You
uh-huh.
see? You're going to get it linearly.
What formula can I use in order to make sure that the intersection points are plotting in the triangle?
Well,
because right
just,
now I'm just using a visual
them.
Reference.
I know, but that's fine. But the visual is accurate because those intersecting points will repeat, will they not?
Yes.
Well,
if you
plot every single intersection, then it won't be visual. You'll know if they fall within the geometry application of a wavelength that's plotted linearly. So every time the frequency repeats itself, you could draw an imitation line or lay a ruler on those intersecting points, and you'd know exactly how many times they intersect based on your graph.
So, like, when I have the equations plotted and I'm looking at the sine waves, there's intersections for infinity amount of times, right?
But there is, but you're only interested in the times they intersect with between the two tangents, which is AB and your B1A1.
Okay, so when you refer to the two tangents, you're referring to B1A1.
Well, that's the second tangent. And the first is, this time is showing up on the y-axis of your AB line segment, which is your original tangent.
Okay, the original tangent is AB.
Correct.
Now, how do I project, how do I then find out where the A1, B1 tangent is to figure out how many intersections are in between?
Fine. Get in your mind what you're trying to figure. 30 days, 30 minutes, 24 days, 1 day, a year, find something that's divisible by itself that works out, and then a little bit more, and then you count over that many blocks, and you establish where your second tangent is going to be placed. The only criterion is that it intersect A, your original AC, and your original BC line segments to form a smaller triangle, and it also has to be parallel to your original AB.
Okay, so in this example, I can pick 6 days.
Sure. So you'd want to make your graph. You'd want to make your graph have about 7 blocks.
Okay, see, that's what it has right now.
Good. So then you could go over 6 days and just apply the second tangent. And then
okay.
You'll know each block is equal to a day.
Okay, perfect. Now,
and see, you could do it with minutes. And now you could have the question. Okay, so I could then all of a sudden figure it for what's going to be in 6 days, and then I could use the exact same equation and count it for 60 months, couldn't I? And we'd say except, the vibration from a 60-month standpoint would be drawn from a different perspective. So in order to do that, you'd have to go back and do the exact same formula again with the new intention of your larger spectrum, because the value of A2 is only predicated on where your new x-axis is going to be achieved.
Yes, exactly.
Got that. Good. And see, that's just theory because your computer's going to do it. See,
okay.
What I mean? Once you get your formula, it'll work. But you need to know that differential, so when you reapply it, you'll say, wow, it's going to be this in 6 days, and then you do the same thing from the different perspective, and then you find in 60 months it's a different point.
Well,
you're
exactly.
Going,
well, if
crap.
You thought, if you perform the calculation 6 days out, when you get to that fifth day or sixth day, you just perform the calculation with the new closing price.
Correct.
And
that is exactly.
Yeah, and you constantly leapfrog
exactly
the formula.
Because that vibration will not change from 6 days to 60 days or 6 months, but your X and Y axis of its point will.
Because your price may not always go up. It may not go always up. It may meander up and then come back down and then go back
up. As you know it, as it could bump 50 pips from somebody having the hiccups.
Exactly. So, okay, so I've got my chart, my graph out, and the C number is plotted at 1 along the x-axis. And I'm looking at the number 6, like the 6th position, so like the 6 days over.
How do I
calculate where the tangent is? Is it literally just a vertical line at that position?
It will actually become your new y-axis from a future point of time. So what you're pulling is a tangent of A2, B2. Line segment A2, B2.
At 6 days out.
Correct. And see, now and that's your new y. That's the future.
Yes, that's
okay.
The future. So this is all to the right of C.
No, it'd be just a little to the left of C.
Oh, okay.
Because if it's to the right of C, it wouldn't intersect A, C, B, C, or line segment in your original triangle, would it?
No. Okay, so what I really need to do is, for example, C in this equation is the 1.002. What I would really need to do is divide 1.002 by 6.
You could.
Or more.
You could.
Like this,
and just
this
change
new
your
tangent.
Or you could just change the perspective of your graph so that you could have a number and apply that value to it. But you don't want to make it hard from a visual standpoint. But the way you have your graph now, you only have one bar. And that's okay because that'll work. But you'd like to have a little more space in between there. So if you redefined your pixels of your graph so that that one space could have 7 lines inclusive into it, then okay, fine.
Yeah, I need a more precise graph.
And, well, have one that you can predicate and adjust at will.
Yeah. So,
but that's easy done. It's just perspective. It's just
could
perspective.
Could I, for this example, move the decimal on these numbers?
It's okay with us.
Because if it's just for perspective, like I could, instead of 1.002, I could make this 100.2.
Sure.
And I'll do that to the other two calculations as well. And then at least we can see a decent.
That's the same thing as changing the graph perspective. Yes.
Perfect.
No problem.
So that's what I'll do for now until I find a better software.
And then the same way is if you had a number that was too big, you know, you could have a value of a million. Get into rupees.
Now,
and drachmas and crazy things.
In order to now plot the intersection points, I'll have to get the sine and the cos of those larger numbers.
No problem, because those vibrations won't be any different. But the whole point now, for your mind, take away the triangle. Now you have a line segment, which is your y. And then you have another line segment, which is would be that you establish, which would be your new Y or B1A1. Okay? Now you're pulling the sine and cosines from the value of A, and that's going to make a sine cosine wave that will go over to the new tangent point. You do the exact same thing with B. Run that over. So it would look like the two tangents would look like the sides of a box, and then the top would have two wavy intersecting lines, which would be look like the top of a box, and then two wavy sine cosine waves from the bottom, which would look like the bottom of the box. You see? Because they're going to go straight across. Those wavelengths are.
Yes. I'm just trying
now,
to
now, once you get that picture, once you get that picture, then you can come back and connect your dots to create your triangle. Because you were asking before, hey, Ion, how do I get that they intersect inside the triangle or not? And we say, well, they may necessarily. They don't have to. But like you said, many times they will, but they certainly don't have to. So if you take the triangle away, do your sine cosines from your values, and then after you have those plotted, then add the triangle, all of a sudden it's very obvious which ones are inclusive and which ones aren't.
Oh, okay. Well, pretty much as long as the intersections aren't negative numbers and aren't larger than C on the x-axis or y-axis.
That's relative. See, because this works. See, the point is this works every single time. So it very likely could be that that'd be the case. And if it is, that's all right. That's all right. Because you can pull this formula backward and pull a B4 tangent and go to the day before they started selling euros and find that the value of a euro is zero because it wasn't traded then. It would leave the parameters of being inclusive. The same way as if they stopped trading lira, then you would go forward to a point where the value of a lira would be zero. You see? You certainly could, because it can even calculate stock prices. So it could tell you that the value of Sbarro pizza chain would be this many pennies, and then now they filed chapter whatever bankruptcy, and the stock value would be zero. So it would your A2 value would be zero. And you're going, holy fuck, really? And we go, really? Because it's a vibration. And when you apply because everything is vibration, but when you...
Everything's vibration. Hey, what is life, Nelson? Define life.
Life?
Yeah. Can't define it. It's one word. He's saying the word vibration. It doesn't have a meaning when you just say one word. You might as well say it's all soup.
Well,
see, I don't know why Ayn thinks he's getting something across by saying it's a vibration. Well, what vibration?
What is life? Life is a vibration.
Yeah, that doesn't tell you anything. You need it's a tree.
It's a wavelength. A tree is a vibration.
You put it into sensory terms.
It's not sensory.
Well, what is it? It's a nothing.
It's a
non-sensory.
Wavelength.
It's a wavelength. It's a wavelength.
It's
non-sensory.
It's a peak and a trough.
Something that can't be a peak and trough. That's a visualization.
It really is it's just the ebb and flow and wavelength of just existence. I guess
it's anything.
You talking about the
within the peak and a trough of a frequency wavelength.
Hey, Nelson, you look around. I don't see any peaks and troughs in the air. You're looking in your room. You look out the window. You see any peaks and troughs? No. You see trees and flowers and sun and pollution and wonderful people.
But some flowers are higher than other flowers. Some flowers are lower than other flowers.
Yeah.
The ocean is
so are you
virus.
Saying that's life? The difference is life?
The distance and the repetition of where the intersecting points are calculate what that is.
You got that? That's what vibration is. The distance between N and N is about calculating what is. Doesn't make any sense. So I'm just saying, Nelson, find out, since in his prose, in his discussion, he says, blah, 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 because it's a vibration. Well, if that's a collusion, figure out what the hell he's talking about when he says it's a vibration. And I defy you can figure out, because it's meaningless to say it's this or that. What he maybe is trying to say is relationships between things.
Well, time is not a vibration. Time is a false premise.
Now, what's a false premise? That doesn't tell
us
anything.
False premise is one that doesn't apply.
Well, it applies a lot. People live within time a lot. See,
no,
so in relation to what doesn't it apply? You've got to make a relationship.
They don't live within time.
Look, within human behavior, they show up in time as close as possible. It may not be precise.
Nope, that's timing.
Okay, what's time then? What's time?
A false premise. It's
no, no, no. We don't know what a false premise is.
Well,
it's a linear perspective.
It depends if you have an expiration. The only reason that time is so legit for us is because we know in X amount of years we're going to die. If you weren't going to die, you wouldn't be concerned about time.
Right.
You'd be concerned about time.
No, I am saying you're not going to die. You're never going to die, Nelson, even if you drop your meat sack and you're buried, you have not died. Now, what the heck does that mean? But that's what I am saying.
Well, that's basically, that's the curtain being pulled away from time. Like, that's the reality behind why it's a false premise.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what I'm getting from this is that everything has its predetermined waypoint that it is being drawn to regardless of intervention by humans or whatever.
That doesn't sound like it. I mean, that contradicts everything Ayn says, because you can be, do, have whatever you want because humans run the show. So what
within
you just said is a predetermined...
Within
no, but
a vibration,
humans may run the show,
exactly
but
right.
But what the show is going to be has already been determined before they decide they even have to run it together.
By what?
By the vibration.
By the vibration. And what's the vibration?
Just
the peak
the
and trough
of
the wave
the
pulse. Being emitted.
The flow of the sun and the waves. And
I think so much of this is just your ability to place names on nothingness, in a sense. Like, you can't conceptualize a lot of these concepts, I don't think. Like, I think that some of it you have to sort of let go and not try and worry about conceptualizing it. I mean, if I was sitting here...
Notice that Ayn's disagreeing with you. Listen to what Ayn says as you make these statements.
But what we're saying is, if you plant a sapling in the ground and you apply the false premise of time, then that in time that tree grows into be a mature tree. All right? And you can saw that tree down, and every season it has a ring of growth, and you can tell how much time has elapsed for that growth of that tree. They can even take a cross-section and tell if it was a good year or a bad year. You see, a dry year or a wet year or a hot year or a cold year, based on how dense those rings are. okay, as far as the growth cycle. All we're saying is that those vibrations are the same. They're consistent within that tree. And if it's based on the false premise of time, then you should be able to calculate and tell exactly what size that tree would be in 10 years, regardless, because the vibration that is that tree is. Right? So if there is a false premise of time, then you should be able to speed up that process and have a full-grown crop of trees in 2 years rather than 20 years. And we say yes, because you would have an effect on its vibration, the peak and the trough that would accelerate or depreciate its present or cultured value. Wow. Pretty cool.
What'd you say?
That goes into what we say, that you can be, do, or have anything instantly. No
what
time
was pretty cool?
To be able to plant a grove of trees and harvest them in 2 years rather than 20 years. And
how's
be
that
the
done?
Same size.
How do you do that?
Affecting the vibration.
Oh, yeah. What's the vibration? Yeah, what? What do I do, massage the wall or something?
No. Oh, no, no, no. You pine about what it is and while everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, sure. They're all doing it, but I get the fruit.
Good, good.
Okay,
good.
We've got to get back on
just,
the formula.
Oh, okay. Back to the vibration. Let's get back to the vibration.
Back to the vibration.
No, we're done
dynamic.
With the we're done with the intersections of the vibration.
The formula of the vibration.
Okay, so.
See, you said it is.
Well, the two main the intersection points are derived from a vibration.
Yep, the peak and trough of a established wavelength. That's done from a trigonometric calculation that says what it is as it goes around the length of the radius of a circle from a wavelength, and that value is established. Now, pi is going to change, okay? It's going to change. But right now, you'll be within a half a millionth of a point off, and luckily, y'all don't calculate currencies that closely yet.
Uh-huh.
See,
okay,
but
so
once pi changes, then yes, it will change the boiling point of water, and yes, it will have a huge effect on your planet. But see, because this applies to everything, or if it doesn't work every time, it may not work at all. So it has to apply every single time without fail or exception.
So, okay, so when I'm deciding how long I want to project for, if I'm looking to project for 6 days.
Good.
I would take the space between 0, 0 and C and divide that into chunks of into six even parts.
Well, no, because then your 6 days would intersect with the C angle. You'd want to make it be a little bit more, meaning you want to end up with a smaller A2, B2, C2 triangle within the ABC triangle.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you were going to calculate
6 days, it would be more like 7 or 8.
Fine. That'd be fine. That's fine. Because it's a false premise, you're just establishing the second tangent that you're going to gauge what A2 is going to be.
Okay, so I'm going to draw this. I'm going to draw this on my paper and just clarify for me if it's what we're talking about.
Good.
So here's A, B, and C. Here's the axis right over here, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then.
So now you have a big triangle, and then with your second line segment that intersects AC and BC, you have also now created an even smaller triangle, which would be just to the right of your B1A1 tangent.
Yes, so here's my first triangle. I just drew it, this part. So what I'm looking for is a line in here.
Well, yeah, close
to
C.
A little bit to the left of C.
That's correct. That's correct. And
so,
enough so you have enough room to calculate. Make sure you have – come over just a little bit more so you have enough room, because then you can pull frequency, how frequent the intersections of that wavelength is going to be from there forward, and get an even more precise pinpoint.
Okay. So let me just – okay, so right now – so let's say I'm looking for 6 days, so I want to divide the space between C and the Y-axis into 8 chunks.
Five.
Which would mean six would land somewhere to the right side of the triangle. Is that cool?
It would be just to the right. It would be to the right, going towards C of the
yes.
AB tangent. Yes.
Yes.
So you got
so
eight blocks.
So,
you got eight blocks. So you go one and from your original Y axis. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you draw a parallel line to your original tangent, and make sure it'll go to infinity, because in that future, Nelson, it also everything will have a value then, just like everything had a value from your original tangent, does it not?
Yes, it does.
So that goes
okay,
to infinity.
Okay, so take a look at what I've – so you see how I've got the dashed line from 6
yep.
up? That's
yep.
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And making
that's
this section our new triangle in here.
That's correct. Now, that triangle is labeled. What you're trying to find out is what A2 is. And A2
okay,
is at
so
the top.
A2
you're labeling
is
the triangle. You're labeling the triangle,
yes.
the little triangle. You have
yes,
A2,
A2's
and then
there,
the bottom
and
would be
B2. Here.
And then C2 is there also. It just so happens to be the exact same angle as C was.
Okay.
To share. But that's also your C2 point.
Okay. Yeah, if that
that's important. That's important because if you when we show you how to pull the B4 tangent, the B4 will have everything will be affected from that original C angle, and taking the compass, the C2 angle, which will affect the new X if you're going
to
pull
okay.
a tangent to the left of your original
to the left
AB
of
line.
AB. Okay.
But it's just going to get broader. You see, it'll become
yes,
wider.
Yes, because those angles, the C angle holds true.
That's right. That's right. Regardless how you label it. That's exactly
okay.
correct. Good.
Cool.
And so then you can label it yet again if pulling the B4. But we have to make sure you got that C and C2 are the exact same angle, but they're two, they share for two different triangulated points.
Okay.
Good.
So how now do I calculate A2 and B2?
Okay. You don't calculate B2. You can only calculate A2.
Okay.
You try to calculate B2, then you've got to start over and move
and
your B value to
above
the A position. Cause,
okay.
Cause, yeah. That's that in that way. Because, see, but once you get the, like you know, once you get the formula, that takes 2 seconds. Just plug, 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 done.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're
and you're only going to ever set this up with pairs that streamline the process.
Well,
preferably.
No. The only reason that you're doing it in pairs is because how much is an ear of corn worth? Well, in U.S. dollars, an ear of corn is worth blah. Well, in Japan today, an ear of corn is worth blah. So the worth has to be established against something. So if
yes.
you were going to do a commodity, you would do that in a form that it has something to value it against. Because value
okay.
is about like time. It's relative, isn't it?
Yes.
Good.
Okay, so what's the calculation to find A2?
Okay. Well, you're not there yet. You have calculated sine cosine of A. And you're okay
yes.
with that. You've
yes.
counted the number, plotted the number of intersection points within the peak and the trough, and divided it by the value of your intersecting points inside the triangle. So
I haven't done that. I haven't
okay.
done that yet.
That's right. That's where we're to. So if it's if you have multiple points, you multiply them times each other and then divide
okay.
by the total number of points. Will you do that anyway?
Okay. So right now we're only talking about, like, for example, when I graph the actual sine bracket 1.60049x, when I graph that and get the waves, I have
mm-hmm.
many more intersection points than what land in the triangle. But is
correct.
All that we're focused on are the ones that land in the triangle?
Don't know. You are the only the. If they fall inside the triangle, you plot those, and that's what you use for your calculation.
Okay.
If you could have 10 that intersect inside the triangle, and if you have
okay,
10
but
points,
do I need to even know or deal with the ones that don't intersect in
yes.
the triangle?
You don't need to plot them, but you need to count them.
Okay,
the
but there are like infinity of them.
No, they're not. If you plot the waves from and lay them in a linear shape, a linear path, do it on your calculator from A and to B. I mean, from your AB to your B1A1, and that's a segment, and that sine and cosine wave from here to here will intersect based on the frequency X number of times.
Oh, okay. Okay, wait one second. Okay. Now, you're saying now that I know I'm looking 6 days out,
mm-hmm.
I need to now figure out how many times they intersect between that vertical tangent and the y-axis.
That sets your chord. See, that's how often the frequency repeats. Whether
okay.
It's a high frequency or a wide frequency.
Okay, so does it matter if it's below zero?
No. Do it exactly
no, I guess
the same
it doesn't.
Way.
If it were there. Okay,
because
so.
Because you're going
to. For example.
You say below zero. Well, you don't know that because you haven't got the new x axis yet.
Oh, that's true.
See?
Okay,
you wouldn't necessarily know that till you do. And then if it is. Then you know that it's going to be a lesser value. A2 is going to be a lesser value than A was in your beginning point.
Okay, yeah. The only values that land in the triangle or in between AB tangent and A2 B2 tangent are the ones that I have plotted.
That you set. That's
that
correct.
I set.
That's great. Now, we don't want to confuse this here. Because we're trying to get you to a place where you can embrace a bit here. All right,
okay.
Here you go. You could also then come back and add another tangent in between and verify your mark in between. For example, let's say you do a 12-hour trade.
Okay.
Okay. And you mark your second, you have your first tangent, you pull your second tangent, then you could complete that and find out what A2 is. Okay? You know the
okay.
answer. Now, you could come back now and divide that space again and add a third tangent and calculate and see how you're doing intraday trading.
Okay, and that way you could technically – okay, so if you took your A2, B2 was based on 12 hours, you could define another tangent, A3, B3, that would be to the left of A2, B2 and see – if where you're at that point in time.
Sure, sure. Or
is
go
basically
the other way or do the other
okay,
way.
Okay, so you could
it.
Basically okay, so if you were trading if you were wanted to hold the trade for 12 hours, you could perform this calculation technically 12 times and
certainly.
See where your best entries and exits are for the whole vibration rate.
It gets even better because that frequency won't change. What happens is you may have a buy low, sell high, buy low, sell high, and do 8 trades within your 12-hour mark.
Well, exactly, because you're going to find that tangent 2 is a little bit higher than tangent 3.
Yes, exactly.
And then you'll find that tangent 4 is higher than tangent 2, so you know it went up and then down and then up.
Exactly. And then you could buy or sell short against those margins, and what does 50 pips on a short sale mean to you?
Well, yeah, it depends the lot size, but it can mean whatever you want it to mean.
But, I mean, you know, do the math there, big boy. It's
well, yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. Okay. So now you've got your A, you got your B. Now you're doing your minus sine cosine of C. All right, and when you do that, you're going to notice that it intersects again, except it's going in the opposite direction, back toward your A original AB. Okay? Now,
okay.
Those will have intersecting points as well. Okay?
Yes,
those intersecting points, you'll want to notice if they are inside or outside the triangle. And you go, well, now, Ion, it would almost have to be inside the triangle if the triangle is continually getting larger the closer you get to your original AB tangent, correct?
Yes.
All right. If that's the case, then you can intersect your C and C2 angle. They're the same.
Yeah.
And connect to that intersection and construct a line connecting those points so that your C, C2, which are the same, and an intersecting point within the triangle, you plot that line. And the more you have, the more accurate your line's going to be. That will become your new x-axis.
Your new x. Oh, so the whole thing kind of shifts. It turns clockwise.
Exactly. So you already have your new y, because that's your second tangent. So now all you have to do is apply your calculations to the new calculating points, and you'll find that your A2 will come to an attributable value. Now,
okay, so let me just, I just want to get the equation for the cos to the negative 1.
Okay.
So I'm going to go, it's going to be, it's pretty much the same way I did the calculation for A and B. It's just negative 1. So it will be sine to the negative 1 bracket 1.0020x close bracket.
Yes. And
cos to the negative 1
same
open
way.
Bracket 1.0020x close bracket.
Right. Now, here's the difference. If you notice in your A and B, you were taking the chord, the pitch, and you were counting how many times they intersect. Now, here, what you're doing is you're plotting the different distance between those pitches. So, for example, when you plot that sine and cosine, negative sine cosine, you're going to have a high and a low. The peaks and the trough, that's where they're going to intersect, correct?
Yep.
You want to go between those, and that's where you're plotting your points.
It would be
your new x, y at 0 radian between that peak and trough.
The negative 1, is that just basically going sine times negative 1 times the number?
No. It's actually reversing the polarity of the wavelength. Your A sine cosine was from the original x-axis toward the B1A1, okay? Your minus sine cosine is going to make it go toward the original AB tangent.
Okay.
You're just reversing it.
Do you see how I have this written out in this software right now? How I've got the
cosine.
Yeah,
it's okay because you're not there because you're not quite there. But it's okay because
now
that you
working.
Have to. Right. Well, but see, now you
I
have
to. I think it's just the software, though.
Well, it may be. So, but because it can't calculate a shift from a false premise or a linear perspective that shift or juxtaposed into the vibration. So that's why when you find the you could do it as a separate little thing, and once you find out what the new x-axis is, then you could overlay that into your original formula and calculate. Like in your calculation, if you could find out that this value is and your x now is this, that now changes everything because you're going to take your value of your original sine cosine of A, where now if x was 0 and y was a point, now you've created a new x-axis. So now if y is this, and then the new x is this, and you calculate that, that'll tell you what A2 is.
Okay, so for example, let me just draw what I'm thinking of here. What's going to happen is the intersection point when I do the C, the cos to the negative 1 and sin to the negative 1 of C, is going to end up somewhere to the left inside the triangle of the A2B2 tangent.
It absolutely will, and it has to, because your line segment originally ACBC that are getting smaller to C. Well, if you run that the other way, it has to intersect because the line segments are continually getting wider.
Oh, yeah.
Sooner or later, it's going to intersect it many times.
Oh, yeah. It's got it.
Okay, Nelson, that's it.
That's it?
That's an hour and 10 minutes.
It was just 5 minutes, wasn't it, Bob? But now you've got something again now, Nelson. Now go at this, re-listen, because now you'll be able to plot this backwards and start playing with it. Because now you've got enough, you know what you're trying to achieve. The present value of the new Y of A2. And just like the sentence structure of your formula is, if you're trying to find out what A is to B.
Uh-huh.
You have an AB, which is your tangent, and you're trying to find A2.
Okay, so let me just draw one thing, and then I'm good. Well, that,
it'll
not
catch
good,
you
but
up.
Whatever.
Okay,
so let's say
it'll catch you up.
Let's say the intersection of the C to the negative 1 ends up right here, okay?
Okay, a little further out, but go out just a little bit.
Okay, right here?
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Then what's going to happen is this line, this new X, is going to come like this, and then Y is going to be at a right angle like that.
Correct. The new Y, and they'll intersect equally. That's correct. And so then what happens, you've made a parallel, it'll change, okay? It'll change.
It flips the whole axis clockwise.
It makes a tetrad.
And then the new A2 is somewhere on that Y?
Exactly. Because now you've changed the new X. Now where X was 0 and Y was that value, now you have a new established X axis so you can calculate it.
Okay, now will that
affect? So if there's any shift in the vibration, like an earthquake in Japan, it'll calculate that new frequency and tell you what it's
going
to be.
Will that axis intersect with the A2B2 tangent?
It has to.
Oh, yeah, at some point it will. But it will higher up.
Maybe. But then that lets you know that your benchmark of A2 may have an extreme, a huge pip move, if that's the case.
Oh, you're right, because it's relative to A. It's not that much higher.
Exactly, because it's relative to A, especially if you now have a new value for X and Y with the sine and cosine of your original A. Very wonderful. Therefore, we are totally, happily, deliciously, completely incomplete.